Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, a fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, more, everything about the CW's hit series, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how you doing tonight?
I've been better.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of struggling tonight, man. You've been fighting off the plague, yes?
Yeah, I think it's just the start, but like I feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be half dead.
Well, you know what? As long as it's tomorrow and not today, I can always replace you in future episodes, but tonight it's too early. It's too late in the game, so...
Mostly dead.
Power through tonight, lest that Dark Racer, Black Flash, whatever you want to call him, comes running towards you, my friend. Run in the opposite direction.
I think I'd run towards him.
No, I think you want to run away from him.
Well, no, you got to do the cool thing where, like, you slide underneath his legs.
Oh, dang.
And then you say something really cool.
Why did nobody try that? That could have gotten Barry out of the whole post-crisis race that he had against the Dark Race. You're just going to stop, go under his legs.
Yeah, and then say something really witty and, like, you know, I don't know.
He couldn't outrun death, but he could outwit death.
Yeah, yeah.
That could work. But, hey, we're getting a little too comic booky. We're talking TV Flash tonight, and we got some great stuff for you. Hey, before we get started, real quick, this is kind of cool. So, you know, the CW has their fan talk thing.
Yes.
Which I should probably know the official name of before we talk about it. CW, I think it's CW fan talk. Yeah. CW fan talk, where they've been doing this thing, I guess specifically for the Flash, that maybe they're just trialing it for the Flash and potentially going from there. Maybe they've done it with other things. I don't know, honestly, but, they reached out to us about coming on. I think they've been reaching out to everybody. If you've got a Flash blog or podcast or something like that, you've probably been
a blogcast.
You never know. You might have a blogcast. Then they've probably been reaching out to you as well. And so they asked us to come on to that. Are we going to do that?
I think it'd be cool, man. The problem, I got to find time off of work.
You though. Literally have to take off of work in order to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. With the rehearsals and whatnot.
Yeah. It would be cool, right?
I think it'd be cool.
It'd be kind of awesome. I don't know. I think you have to do video too, and we're more audio.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things like, I'm not allowed to put my face on the internet.
Right, right.
Because Horatio Sanz pops up and he says, no, Belle, it's too sexy. It's too sexy.
I tell you what, man, here's the deal. If you do it, you got to wear the Grodd costume. Get hashtag ring that Grodd going. I don't know.
Earth 2 Gorilla Grodd is a fan of the Flash.
I don't know. I don't think we're serious enough for official channels. I don't think that's going to work. We'll show up for the rehearsal and be like, yeah, you know what? Not you two. Let's...
Yes, I just don't know if that's exactly the style that we're going for here at the CW.
I don't know. But one way or the other, it seems kind of coolish. I don't know if we'll end up doing it or not. But if we do, then we'll let you know. And y'all can tune in for that. And as we learn more about it, we'll let you know more about it.
The Rundown.
Episode 5 of Season 2, The Darkness and the Light. Directed by Steve Schill and story by...
Benton Sokolowski and Grianne Godfrey.
I love Godfrey.
I thought that was Granny Goodness for a second.
Well, and it's the Granny Good. There's a Godfrey and a Granny Goodness. How do you say it again?
I think it's Grianne.
Grianne? Maybe. Grianne of Tarth. One way Grianne. Or the other, she is certainly from Apocalypse.
Oh, yes.
Name like that.
Yes.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, the team meets the Earth 2 Harrison Wells, who is responsible for the creation of the metahuman Zoom of his Earth. Despite his attitude, Wells plans to help Barry's team stop Zoom and his metahumans. At the same time, a thief from Earth 2 named Dr. Light arrives and starts robbing banks. Jay tells Barry that she can be reasoned with, and it works until Barry recognizes her as the Earth 2 version of Linda Park. Later, Light attempts to kill Linda and take over her life, but accidentally kills Linda's boss and is foiled by Barry's team in the process. Wells reveals Cisco's metahuman powers to the team, which Cisco uses to locate Dr. Light. Barry defeats her using a speed mirage technique that was suggested by Wells. After locking Light up, they plan to use her to lure Zoom and defeat him for good. Jay, who does not trust Wells, thinks it's too dangerous and leaves the team. Back on Earth 2, it's revealed that Zoom has Wells' daughter captive.
All right. So much I want to talk about here. But first, just overall impressions. This is the episode I've been waiting for all season.
I'm shocked it took five episodes to get here, but yes, this is what I've been waiting for the whole season.
So good. And you even had a little bit of a Legends nod, but it was subtle. You see what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like it didn't take up the entire episode to do. It was very subtle.
Yeah. And like, that's what I want in my Legends nod, is just subtle stuff and be like, that's a neat character. I wonder where that's going to go. I'll go watch Legends to find out. But
yeah,
don't
I know.
Tell me on Flash.
I know. Look, oh my gosh. This episode, man, was so, so good. Let's start. If it's all right with you, my friend, I want to start with Dr. Light. Cause I also want to say, this is probably the best costume overall in terms of just like from comic book to screen, from panel to screen, if you will. Yeah. You see what I did there? I think that we've ever gotten, at least for me, for my money.
I would have to agree. It felt very comic book. It looked very comic book, but it worked well.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. It felt and looked comic book, but it worked well. Like that, it's the perfect balance for my money. And it helps that it comes from Earth 2. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For right now, they've got this big moment with the whole parallel Earth things going on. Especially given what we talked about, especially last episode with Speedster Speculation, that Earth 2 is much more advanced in terms of its kind of sci-fi-ness, its comic bookiness. They can get away with more that ties closer into the comics or what you might expect from a comic book and pull it into our, you know, more modernized, more realistic, quote-unquote, world that we've come to know from Earth 1.
Yeah, Earth 1's more down to earth.
Yeah, no, it is. Although that's changing. I mean, to some extent, it's down to earth in the space where, you know, guy catches on fire and flies around after merging with another guy. And
and another dude can run, you know, super, super fast.
Yeah. And then you also have, I don't know if you watched Arrow, but Constantine. And that's all I'll say about that for now.
Yeah. The possibilities there. With Constantine on Flash, excite me.
Oh, I mean, would that not be awesome?
I love Matt Ryan's Constantine. I like the Constantine TV show, and it was so good to see him on the screen again.
Okay, so again, I don't want to take away from Flash, but just a brief little Arrow TV talk. Oh my gosh, man. I forgot. This is really more Constant TV talk, because honestly, I forgot how much I loved Constantine.
It's good, man.
It's so good. And he belongs. It's funny how out of place he feels on Arrow, but how like in place he would feel on The Flash.
I don't know, man, because with the Lazarus Pits and all that kind of stuff.
No. I don't mean like the occult aspect. I just mean like him. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm all like BA and, you know, just having a good time. I can't do that voice. But point being, he like, you know, he's just like, he's kind of everything serious around him. And he's just being like a smart ass about it.
I love that. Yeah, from that aspect, I absolutely agree. I think he would fit in better. There'd be a little bit more jabs on either side as opposed to just Constantine bringing the wit.
Right. Let's get back to The Flash. So Dr. Light, loving Dr. Light, kind of a twist on the character, given that it's actually Linda Park of Earth 2.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask, because I'm not too familiar with Dr. Light. But in the comics, it's not Linda Park, I take it.
There's been a couple of different Dr. Lights, but I don't believe that Linda Park was ever ever Dr. Light in the comics.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
And Dr. Light, by the way, has been a hero and a villain, depending on who is portrayed, has taken on that mantle.
Yeah, that was another thing, too, because when I heard Dr. Light, my brain just instantly thought, good guy from, you know, Dr. Light from Mega Man, right? That was Dr. Light was the guy who made Mega Man.
Oh, you are so going to have to remind. I have no earthly idea.
Yeah, Dr. Light made Mega Man.
Fair enough. Well, this is not that Dr. Light.
Yeah, I know. But like, that's where I was thinking, oh, yeah, Dr. Light's got to be a good guy. And I was like, oh, wait, it's a bank robber? Why is Zoom? Oh, it's a bad guy.
Well, if you know, did you ever read Identity Crisis?
No.
Okay, so Identity Crisis is, if and my comic book knowledge might be all a little bit mixed up here. There were a lot of crises. But this was one where you kind of discover that, I think Zatanna and a number of the Justice Leaguers made the decision to mind wipe Dr. Light. And and at the time, he was a terrible, terrible villain, malicious. He was actually a rapist. I mean, it was just, you know, very, very serious stuff. Not just knocking over banks with giant robots. I mean, this dude was
Not Snidely Whiplash evil, but like Hannibal Lecter evil.
No, but see, they mind wiped him and turned him into a Snidely Whiplash evil villain for the Titans, because Dr. Light was kind of a Titans villain. So the idea was that they mind wiped this guy, turned him into more of like a, you know, kind of like a C-list villain, so they can kind of set him up and then give the Team Titans some practice, essentially.
That's bizarre.
Well, I mean, that's maybe an oversimplification of essentially what happened. But one way or the other, that character went through kind of a retcon because of this. And Dr. Light ended up being kind of a catalyst for, you know, everything else that ended up happening. And the big moment in that comic book, by the way, spoilers for Identity Crisis, is Batman actually walks in on the Justice League after they've gotten done mind wiping him, and they all make the decision to mind wipe Batman. And then
how is that possible?
Well, I mean, here's how it's not possible. Batman, ever the over planner, had a satellite system in the sky monitoring everything that was going on, so that he discovered that the Justice League had betrayed him and mind wiped him. And there you go.
Oh, so he was like watching security footage, because that's what he does in his free time. And he's like, wait a second.
# because prep time.
Yep.
Yep. So there you go. But there's a little interesting history of that character that's no at all related to this version of Dr. Light. No, Linda Park, man. So not the first time that we've gotten an Earth 2 person who was very different from their Earth 1 counterpart.
Yes.
Right? Well, hang on. I'm trying to think. Who have we gotten from Earth 2? We had Adam Smasher, which admittedly we don't know anything about his Earth 1 counterpart, because
he was like a factory worker guy.
Yeah, but he might have been evil. We don't know that he was necessarily a hero, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Right. Like, yeah, all we know is what his day job was. He could have been some kind of petty criminal or some kind of like Muffissimo, something like that. We don't know.
Right. And then we had who is the Earth 2 of episode 2? Does Sand Demon?
Sand Demon. Yeah.
Okay, so Sand Demon, we know that his Earth 1 counterpart was a villain, albeit not a super villain.
Yes.
And then after him, we got
King Shark.
Yeah, but we don't know anything about King Shark's Earth 1 counterpart.
That's true.
And then now we get Linda Park. And of course, this is not including Harrison Wells, who seems very different from the Harrison Wells that we got in that one flashback scene.
And I like him.
Really?
I like the fact that he's such a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'm so happy that he is so very different from what's come before. Now, we knew this was going to be the case, right? Because Tom Cavanagh is an exceptional actor. But I remember a lot of people were thinking that we were going to get a Harrison Wells similar to Eobard Thawne from season one, which makes absolutely no sense. And so I'm glad that this is such a differentiated character. Dude, he is the Lex Luthor of his planet. Like, yeah, that whole scene, that introductory scene between Jay and that exchange between Jay and Wells was very, very Lex Luthor Superman.
Oh, yeah. But I like it, too, because I remember you were saying that you liked Harrison Wells as Eobard Thawne. And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe the new Harrison Wells would be cool, too.
I like Tom Cavanagh as Eobard Thawne.
Yes, yes, yes. But I'm just glad that there's something here for, you know, people to like.
Well, but see, that's the question. Do you like him? I mean, I know you said you like him, but I like
his portrayal of the character. But yes, he is an insufferable dick.
Well, here's the thing, man. He's evil. Like we were expecting him to not be evil. But I think that overall, he does have kind of a dark bent. Maybe not evil in its purest sense. But he is definitely a counterbalance to Jay. In fact, in many respects, Harrison Wells and Jay Garrick are both kind of filling the void that Eobard Thawne left from season one. In that, you know, Harrison Wells is kind of that, you know, or the Earth 2 Harrison Wells, Harry, if you will, is kind of that person who's kind of pushing hard and, you know, science above all else. And then Jay is kind of the lovable mentor who's emotionally attached and caring of what's going on. And so it's nice to see those different, you know, that dichotomy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Harry's a lot more of a sociopath, whereas Jay is more of an empath.
What do you think about Harry? Are we going to call him Harry? Is that a thing now?
Yeah, I think we should call him Harry.
He's not that Harry.
Well, but that's what Sisko says. Let's call him Harry.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like...
And Sisko names everybody on the show.
Not everybody. Didn't name himself.
Well, that's true.
Barry named him. That was sweet.
That was cool.
I was kind of like, that's good. That made me got me in the feels right there when Barry named Vibe.
I also like it when he says Vibe, like he's sitting there, you know, when he's explaining the powers. It's like, you know, I get this vibe, and I'm like, ooh, he said the thing.
He said the thing about the thing. He's done that a couple of times. I'm actually kind of surprised when it came time for him to name himself. He didn't think, like, what word have I used to describe this 30 times at this point?
Yeah, for real. Like, he's like, wait a second. Every time I describe my powers, I say vibe at least 2 times. Let's just go with that.
Let's just go with it. Yeah, no, I'm vibing with it.
Oh, yeah.
But Harry, I don't know if I can go with. I mean, I guess I will. If that's what we're calling him, then that's what we're going to call him.
Well, it's Harrison, short for Harry. I mean, that works.
Yeah, here's what drove me crazy, though. This entire episode, like, we had that great moment of exposition from Caitlin, who explained the difference between what we got with H.G. Wells in season 1 and what we're about to get from, I guess, Harry in season 2. Right? She was like, you know, he looks like that other guy who technically wasn't that other guy because he was actually Eobard in that other guy's body. And I said, thank you, Caitlin, because nobody else here seems to understand that. Everybody else keeps referring to that person as Harrison Wells. That was not Harrison Wells. That was Eobard Thawne. Please, everybody.
It was Eobard Thawne playing Harrison Wells.
Right. I wish that Wells had some sort of descendants in Earth One that he left behind to sit this team down and be like, look, stop. You know, you're defaming my father. This was not my father. You're talking about Eobard. He looked like him. He's not the same. Now, of course, Earth One, Harrison Wells did not, you know, he died before he was able to pass on a lineage. Earth Two, Harrison Wells, on the other hand, lived and, in fact, procreated, because we now know that Harrison Wells of Earth Two has a daughter.
And I think I know who that daughter's going to be.
Well, I think we all know who that daughter's going to be, although this might be somewhat spoilery if you're not paying attention to the news or kind of anything else. But yeah, that actress who portrays Jessie is actually been cast. It was announced earlier that she was actually cast as Jessie Quick.
Yes.
So there you go. Jessie Quick in the comics is Jessie Chambers. Actually, if I'm remembering correctly, much more tied to the character of Max Mercury. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's
right. They're both from the future, right?
Let's see.
I think Jessie Quick's from the future.
She's kind of one of those that has a little bit of a retconny background. But here's her Wikipedia. In hopes of creating a successor, Johnny Quick, that's who it was, not Max Mercury, Johnny Quick. Johnny Quick taught the formula that gave him his enhanced speed to his daughter, Jessie. The formula worked on Jess as well, and she gained super speed. Contrary to what her father had intended, however, Jessie instead opted to continue her education rather than become a costumed crime fighter. Now, of course, this would later go on to change as she would adopt the name Liberty Bell and then later Jessie Quick. So, yeah, no, Johnny Quick was actually her father. So
in the comics, is she connected to the Speed Force?
Well, it depends on the story. But if you go based off of what occurred in, I want to say, Rebirth, then yes.
Okay.
There you go. Now, she's kind of connected to it in a similar fashion that Max Mercury is connected to it. And it's more of like, if you kind of look at the Speed Force as a spiral, right? At the center of the spiral is Barry. Like, on the next ring is Wally and Bart. On the next ring after that would be Jay. And then as you get further out, then you start talking about, you know, Max and Johnny and Jessie.
Gotcha. Now, here's a question. Has Jay on the show mentioned the Speed Force?
I think he actually did, right? Well, he talked about wielding your lightning, but the lightning we know is the Speed Force.
Yeah. Okay. So then, yeah. So he would definitely be connected, because I was wondering if they were going to try and separate that, and because I know, I mean, Jay Garrick originally, you know, the Golden Age Flash. There was no Speed Force or anything.
I mean, it came in much later in terms of just kind of the explanation. And you know, that it's one of these great things. And it's part of why comics and this method of telling stories, they're able to build off one another. You know, you can stay true to the core of what the character represents and then kind of build that lore and that world around it as it grows. And it even goes outside of the comics. And we've seen kind of how different things has kind of layered on top of things. Like, for example, look at the new Suicide Squad movie. And just the focus that's on Harley Quinn, a character who's so heavily tied to Batman comics, but actually originated in a Batman animated television show.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see how things like the Speed Force can be layered on top of it and then added and enhanced and told in different ways as the stories continue. Now, one thing I'm I'm kind of interested to see what ends up occurring with the Speed Force in the show. They've only very lightly touched it. In many respects, Eobard was the first time that we actually heard the word Speed Force. And it was kind of just adopted in terms of terminology, but never really fully studied. And so it would be wonderful if, you know, at some point someone comes along, maybe it's actually like somebody like a Max Mercury, somebody who can kind of be in depth into studying what the Speed Force is all about and give a little bit more of an education to Barry. You know, we had at one point speculated perhaps Jay would end up being almost like an Obi-Wan Kenobi, getting into a little bit more of the spiritual aspects of the Speed Force. I don't know that that's going to be the case, especially right now since he's not connected to it. So we'll have to end up and see where he falls on.
Yeah. And, you know, we also got an answer to the question we had asked a couple episodes back talking about whether or not the Earth 2 particle accelerator exploded. And it actually did explode. It just exploded underground.
Yeah. That was good. Then that explains why the building wasn't damaged.
Yes.
Yeah. What did you think about the whole Harrison Wells developing, you know, meta detectors?
I thought it was interesting. It seemed like it was a plot device just to, you know, reveal Sisko's metahuman, not mutations, but, you know, his metahuman abilities. So I don't know if they'll bring it back, if they'll use it later. I figure they probably will. They usually don't just, you know, introduce things like that. And then
It wasn't just a device to reveal that you know, Sisko was a meta. It was also a device to reveal that Caitlin is not.
Aha, this brings me to a point that I wanted to discuss.
Yeah, what's up?
So pretty much that right there confirmed for me that Killer Frost is going to be the Earth 2 Caitlin Snow.
Yes. And I mean, I think also just what we saw with Linda, right, that the Earth 2 counterpart can be so drastically different.
Yes.
That you can be a hero in one world and be a villain in another. Although Caitlin did have that great line about, it's not like after he gets his meta abilities, all of a sudden he's going to become a supervillain or something. You know. I think you're right, but I don't know that confirms that our Caitlin won't ever be a supervillain. Now, I've said before, I don't think that she will, but maybe she might. I don't know. I was actually a little taken back. I almost felt a little like, I know that doesn't like fully close the door on her becoming Killer Frost, because we'll see other ways that people will get meta abilities. But kind of interesting that, you know, that was not just a confirmation to the team that Vibe was a meta. It was also a confirmation to us, the audience, that Caitlin is definitely not.
Yeah.
But that whole idea of Wells building that technology gets back to that kind of Lex Luthor-esque mindset, right? The us versus them. And I use that phrase kind of intentionally, too, because a lot of this reminds me a little bit about what's going on in Heroes.
See, I haven't been watching Heroes.
I feel like this, I mean, like, you know, I'm sure it's just kind of a coincidence and obviously just a trope to some extent and you know, superhero storytelling. But a big element of the story of Heroes, if you've been watching the miniseries, is this company that's built this technology to detect whether somebody has powers or not.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very similar. But I'm sure that's more of a coincidence. And like I said, I mean, it's a trope that you end up seeing in this kind of storytelling for sure.
Yeah.
What about Sisko and Vibe and vibing out and such?
Well, it's interesting because it seems like he doesn't have as much control over his powers as he thinks he does.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least as much as Harry thinks he does.
What did you admit? Like Harry giving him the whole yes, you can speech and, you know, tough love, more stick, less carrot. What did you think about that?
Well, I think what it is, it's maybe Harry knows more about his powers than he does. And it takes some kind of, like, I don't know if it was the fact that it's, you know, because he stabbed him in the chest with the mask.
We didn't stab him, but
he poked him. He poked him in the chest with the mask.
Sure.
And I'm assuming that was just to try to, like, you know, evoke recollections of the other, you know, Eobard Wells.
Interesting. To maybe, like, trigger his power. I didn't think about that. So you think he was intentionally poking him in the chest because of what he had told him earlier that Harrison Wells had done?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And wow. I didn't even catch that, but I think you're right, man. That's sadistic.
Yeah. I think he was doing that because he needed some kind of trauma or something to activate the powers.
Or just emotional response.
Right. So I think either Harry knows more about Vibe's powers than he's letting on, maybe because Earth 2 Vibe is out in force or something. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But it definitely seemed to know that that would work, right? Because they bring the mask and like they immediately he goes, oh great, we have something of, you know, Earth 2 Linda, Dr. Light. Let's give it over here to Cisco so we can find out where, you know, where she is.
Right.
So it seems to me that he knows more about Vibe and his powers than Earth 1 Cisco does.
Right. So you believe that Earth 2 Vibe exists and is, you know, doing his thing.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know for sure, but there seems to be some implication there that Harry knows more about that stuff than Cisco does.
No, I think you're right. But here's my question. The Vibe power set, and we've said this before, it's kind of like forget what you know about Vibe from the comics because this is clearly going to be very different. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this, I don't understand it. So like he gets visions?
Yeah, it's weird. So he like touches something and can then see things related to that object.
You never watched Angel, did you?
No.
All right, so there was this character, Cordelia Chase, and it was a big plot device that she would occasionally get these visions of danger or something bad that was about to happen, and then you know, Angel would go off and save the day. Here, it's a similar plot device in that Vibe has been, up until this point, getting these random... he calls them vibes, but I mean, they're visions essentially, where he's in, it's not future vision. It's something that is going on somewhere else connected to what he's touching. I don't get how that, again, I'm trying to just wipe from my mind how his powers work in the comics, but I'm not 100% sure how that works here.
Yeah. Cause it's weird. Cause all the visions that he have are very convenient.
Right.
And so it's almost like he's, you know, omniscient or something.
How did Eobard describe it? He said something about like being able to kind of tell the vibrations in the timeline.
Yeah, like feeling the vibrations in the timeline.
Yeah,
like
yeah. I just don't know, man. It seems odd to me. I'm hoping that he gets, you know, a little bit more effective field powers, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Like maybe it's something to do with if he can touch something that belonged to the person, he can key in on their, you know, personal vibration, their personal
their
signature.
Frequency or something.
Yeah, their frequency. And when he does that, he can like kind of maybe see something through their eyes or something like that.
Right. I mean, I know it's OMG science, but I would like a little bit of explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that he's been a little bit more out in the open about it, hopefully he'll be able to, you know, maybe they'll study it a little bit more. And, you know, Caitlin will surely want to poke and prod him and run some tests.
Yeah, I want to see them play around with it because I'm sure there's probably some pretty funny stuff they could do with it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, now that he's not suppressing it, that will hopefully go in the right direction. Jay was very protective of Barry because of, you know, the loss that he's suffered with losing his speed. He kind of came off a little bit as a wet blanket this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And Wells called him out on it.
Yeah. And Wells was right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, it's funny, though, because I just assumed that he had been fighting Zoom that whole time. But Wells is like, nah, dude, you're running from him.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, that's like a pretty big revelation. We're like, you know, because I expected Jay to be like Barry, right? You know, this heroic, you know, run to the danger kind of dude. And it was revealed this episode that he's not.
From Wells' perspective.
True.
I don't fully believe that. I think that he means like more of symbolically or you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it kind of gives the implication that Zoom had the upper hand and that Jay was kind of, you know, scared of him.
Well, I mean, Jay has said before that Zoom definitely has had the upper hand. And yeah. I think what Wells was saying is not that Jay has literally been running away from him, but that, you know, in those confrontations, he's been more defense than offense because he's been afraid.
Right, right. And, yeah, the takeaway there is that he's scared of him.
Right. And Wells believes that Barry, now it's interesting because he says that he knows Barry, he's been studying Barry, and Barry has the potential, you know, to dig deeper and to run faster and to be more. Now, this could relate, you know, like I'm actually, like I mentioned before, with the spiral thing, connection to the Speed Force. It may be the fact that Barry's kind of at the center of what the Speed Force is. And so maybe that's what he's talking about, or perhaps it has something more to do with, you know, what has going on with the Barry Allen of Earth 2. You know, maybe there's something that Wells knows that we don't know. Could be.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, Jesse being kidnapped by Zoom. Why does Zoom have Jesse?
We don't really know.
Is he, like, leverage?
Maybe. Because I'm trying to think of like a motive here.
What was their exchange? Do you remember?
When was what?
What was their exchange? Like, she's in a cage and Zoom is talking to her.
I think she says, like, my dad's not going to give up. He'll find me.
Yeah. But I'm more trying to remember what Zoom said to her.
What a pineapple says that Zoom said your father has abandoned you.
What does that tell us about his motivations, though? Like, he needs Jesse for something.
I guess. Well, I mean, so if it's true that she's a speedster.
Well, maybe she. Oh, what if she is a speedster?
Well, yeah, she's Jesse Quick.
Well, I mean, yeah, she will be. But are we, again, somewhat spoilery because they haven't said that in the show.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like that's spoilering in the casting because they announced her as casting this actress for Jesse Quick. So they kind of spoiled it already. That's on them, not us.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, though, like, you know, what Zoom's trying to get rid of all the speedsters because he wants to be the only one.
Well, you're making assumptions. I mean, yes, I think you're right. And I think
what we've learned thus far.
Well, but is it that he wants to be the only one? Why does he why is that his motivation, is to get everybody else's speed?
Well, we haven't seen his motivation, but isn't that what Jay said? Jay said he doesn't want any other speedsters. He wants to be the fastest person there is.
Maybe. I do think, though, that he is, I mean, like, gosh, every single time we see him and every single time we see him interact with anybody or get up in anybody's face, I'm becoming more and more convinced that this Zoom is very much the Black Flash or the aspect of death for speedsters. So I think he exists solely to go and kill off speedsters. There will always be speedsters, so there will always be this guy. But why, if that's the case, here's my question, though. If she's already a speedster, why is she not dead?
Yeah, yeah. Unless, you know, he's trying to, I don't know, make Harry capture Barry?
Yeah, I guess it is true. He's throwing everybody else. Why is he throwing everybody else at Barry? Why isn't he doing his own dirty work?
I guess maybe he doesn't want to reveal himself until he knows everything about. Because that's the thing, right? He's fought Jay. He knows Jay.
Right.
But he doesn't know Barry. Well, he doesn't know what he's capable of.
Yeah. Okay, so you think it's more of like a hold back and use this as a time to study.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be like Nightfall, the Batman comic where
Bane breaks the bat.
They told me I was supposed to break the bat. Yeah, when Bane basically unleashes all of these Arkham villains to wear out Batman so that he could, you know, break him.
Yeah.
Perhaps Zoom is doing kind of a similar thing. It's like, all right, well, you know, Earth 1, they've got their metas, but nothing compared to Earth 2, so I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff he's never seen before at him and wear him out to the point where, you know, he's Slim Pickens.
Or maybe he's trying to make him a better hero.
Well, that would play into the whole idea that this is actually Eobard, or tied to Eobard in some form or fashion.
Like a bizarro Hunter Zolomon / Eobard thing.
Well, I mean, not Hunter Zolomon. I do believe at some point we'll get a Hunter Zolomon in the show. I don't think this is it. I think when we get a Hunter Zolomon, we'll be introduced to him and his name will be Hunter Zolomon.
No. I mean, in the sense of that was, you know, Hunter Zolomon's goal was to make Barry a better hero.
Yeah, but see, even that, the motivations were very similar to Eobard. So, I mean, you know, it's been done. And so I understand there's an argument for it not being Eobard because it's too similar to season one, except it's not. Season one was all time travel. Now we've got Earth 2. You confused, kids? It's funny because the great thing about the show is that they're so high concept in almost every single thing that they do.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating at times because it's so high concept, they sometimes have to dumb it down for the audience. And I wish they wouldn't. I wish they would keep it high concept, you know, 24/7. But at the same time, I realize that, you know, you gotta appeal. Everybody's got to keep up and follow along. And they do have those great lines where after Caitlin does deliver that exposition to Harry, he says, yeah, I didn't follow any of that. I'm like, all right, well, we did. Yeah, that's all that matters. Did.
I do find it interesting, though, that they have a somewhat solution to the whole keeping people in the pipeline problem.
Oh, yeah.
So there's laws on Earth 1.
Uh-huh.
You can't keep people. You know, the suspension of habeas corpus, all that kind of stuff. We've already discussed that at length. This is a person from another universe.
Right.
Do our laws apply?
Well, good point. I can give them that in terms of using the pipeline, because I did have a question about why, you know, they were keeping Dr. Light in the pipeline instead of the new meta wing at Blackgate. But here's the question, though. This is where things got very dark, right? Joe hands Iris a gun.
Yes.
And he tells her, you cannot murder someone that everybody thinks is already dead.
That's true.
That was
pretty crazy.
Dude, honestly, that was so out of character and so different from the Joe that we know. I honestly thought he was a doppelganger. Like, I did, man. I thought that he was going to end up being somebody else from Earth 2 or something of that nature.
I didn't get that. I think that he's just gone through so much that now he's willing, because, like, you know, he didn't trust Harrison. He doesn't really trust Harry. So he's going to take every precaution necessary.
You can't murder someone who everyone already thinks is dead. Dude, that is villainous thinking right there.
Well, but I think what he's saying is like, if he does something that's out of line, like if he steps out of line and he tries to hurt you, take him out. And there's nothing nothing's going to happen from it.
That's no good. That's not Joe. Obviously, you know, the entire episode is called The Darkness and the Light, right? It's big about contrast. And so, you know, you do have that major contrast of everything that's going on. And I think overall this season has pushed a lot of these characters to a darker place. We've talked and given, you know, a lot of grief about how Barry's, you know, been killing this season. And here we have Papa Joe essentially just saying, it's fine to kill this guy. There's no problem with that. Here's a gun. No, I'm sorry. I'm not. That is unacceptable. More characters are going to need to be taken to task. And I guess for me, the hope is that they're going to balance this out. That maybe they're, you know, because they are, it almost seems intentionally taking these characters in this dark path. Perhaps the shoe is going to drop on the other foot, or however you say it, soon.
Yeah, potentially. It's really interesting, though, because, like, yeah, they're still people. They're still humans. And so you're still killing someone regardless of whether or not that person's already dead.
Yeah. Just, it doesn't matter if you get away with it, Joe. You're still killing
you're
somebody.
Come on, Joe.
I know. I mean, he's a cop that's existed in the gray area before, but that's not gray. That's
straight
up.
Yeah, I see where he's coming from, but I think he should probably have better judgment.
I don't. Joe's not a villain. These guys aren't supposed to be villains.
Well, I don't think it's villainous thinking, though. I think it's extremely dangerous.
Well, okay, fine. It is dangerous thinking. It's dangerous because it's so far of a slippery slope that you're already at the base at that point.
Right. Because this is the thing where, you know, he wants to protect his daughter, right? You know, and he's super scared for her. And now this guy has come, the same guy who, you know, resulted in the death of her fiance, the death of Barry's mother, all this bad stuff. And so, of course, he's skeptical and he doesn't trust him. So he's like giving her this option. It's like, look, if anything bad happens, you can't get in trouble for killing somebody who's already dead.
Yeah.
And I think that should come back to bite him in the ass.
Yeah, I hope it does. I really hope it does. But hey, one last thing we got to talk about, Cisco the wingman.
Yes,
you know, we've talked before. You're baddie for Patty. A lot of us are baddie for Patty. But Barry was so baddie that he went blind as a bat.
That's true. Blind as a baddie for Patty.
I'm next time you have a date, can you put me in your ear?
No, that would be physically impossible.
No, but I could tell you what to say. By the way, what was up with the Ray Charles glasses? Now this band's gonna play from 9 to 1. Everybody here's gonna
have some fun doing the mess around. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he couldn't find some, like, I don't know, more stylish.
I feel like, for one thing, Barry didn't know what he was wearing. I feel like Cisco did that intentionally.
Probably.
I mean, I know you had to put the camera in there, but still, it's, you know, they're doing the mess around. I thought that was great. No, Cisco is a wingman. I thought he did pretty good.
I think so. And I like the fact that of course, Patty knew what was going on.
Oh, yeah. She's sharp, man.
Yeah.
Does she know that he's the Flash?
I bet she has some speculation.
I'm thinking she does. I was actually kind of thinking that even last episode when she was, you know, trying to get Barry to come along with her, you know, side quest. And I was like, huh.
Yeah. And that whole scene where she's like, oh, the Flash, the drink, you know, I think that was kind of like a
hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah, kind of like Jimmy Olsen in the first episode of Supergirl, where like before she reveals it to him. I mean, he already knew, obviously.
Right.
Spoilers. But you know, where he's sitting there, like every opportunity that he gets, some kind of quip about Supergirl, and that he knows, right? Like right. The wink or the whatever. Yeah. So maybe it's something like that. I think she knows. I think she's smart. And I think she's either going to figure it out or she has already figured it out.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. She might not have figured it out, but she's circling it.
Yeah, she's definitely circling it. She's definitely going to like pinpoint it and at some point.
Good episode. Like I said, this is definitely the best of the season. This was excellent.
Yeah, super, super good. Really looking forward to next week.
Yeah, ramping it up to 100 and looking good.
Speedster speculation.
All right, man. Speedster speculation, as determined by our live audience here at Mixler.com/Podastery, tuning in for the Flash TV Talk. What's up, everybody? The good folks say this is what they want for the topic this episode, and that is, where is Earth 1J? But more specifically, where is Earth 2 Barry?
Detroit. So what if Earth 2 Barry is Zoom?
And it's a question that a lot of people have actually been tweeting in, and actually, you know, we mentioned before the YouTube video last episode, and most of the comments, actually combed through them earlier today, are about people saying they believe that Earth 2 Zoom, or that Zoom essentially is Earth 2 Barry. Dive into this. Why make your case? Why is Zoom Earth 2 Barry?
Well, so thus far we've seen a bunch of examples of Earth 2 people and their doppelgangers on Earth 1.
Right.
The most recent one being Dr. Light, where Linda Park, who's just, you know, not necessarily a mild-mannered reporter, but a reporter nonetheless, is not an evil person. Not a bad guy. Not a bad person.
Sure.
Whereas Earth 2, Linda Park, is. Inadvertently kills somebody, bank robber, all that kind of stuff. Atom Smasher seems like he was just a factory worker guy on Earth 1. And Earth 2, he's a big, bad supervillain guy. Sand Demon, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't exactly a good guy on Earth 1, but he was still, you know, much worse on Earth 2. So we kind of have this example of all these people. And also, like, the Wells that we saw on Earth 1 look like a way more just lighthearted. That one scene that we see where he's with his wife and, like, he's just, like, this starry-eyed, kind of like, I'm going to save the world. And he seemed like a good person, right? Like a not nearly as much of a douche as Earth 2 Harrison Wells.
Okay.
So it's almost as if Earth 2 is like Bizarro World for Earth 1.
Interesting.
Thus far that we've seen. So what would be the opposite of Barry? Well, I mean, I would posit Zoom.
So just strictly because opposite, I mean, wouldn't opposite be Barry be normal Barry though?
No.
But why would Barry of Earth 2 have speed?
Because the particle accelerator gave it to him.
Well, the particle accelerator gave it to Jay, right?
Well, it could have given it to multiple people.
That's a question, right? So we've got a lot of potential speedsters that do not currently have speed. And so there is kind of a question of where does their speed come from in terms of the show. However, I'm not so sure about that, man. Why, if that's the case, if the particle accelerator and everything went the exact same way on Earth 2.
But it didn't.
Okay, keep going.
It exploded underground. There's a much different scenario there.
So
we don't know exactly what happened.
So Barry was struck by, what's the reverse of lightning?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's Barry from the future, like an Earth 2 future who's coming back.
I don't think they're going to be dealing a lot with time travel. I feel like this episode and what Caitlin said or what somebody said about, like, you know, man, I miss time travel. I feel like that was almost like a line in the ground saying, you know, this season is not the time travel season. That was last season. We don't want to confuse you any further. We got two Earths. Let's go with that.
This is the doppelganger season.
Yeah, I don't think time travel is going to play a major factor into this.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought too much about it, but I think it could be plausible.
No, a lot of people think this. A lot of people think that Zoom is Barry. Now, a lot of people also thought that Harrison Wells was Barry. You know what I mean? Like it's, I feel like future Barry, evil Barry always kind of ends up being kind of a go-to guess for a lot of people. I don't think that they're going to do evil Barry. I think that what we're already seeing evil Barry, he's been killing people.
That's true.
But even that, man, that Zoom that we've seen is not human. Like,
doesn't look like. He looks very monstrous.
His mask isn't a mask. I mean, I think that's his face. Like, it's flesh. You know what I mean? Like, that is not... I think that what we're seeing is some sort of ghostly, deadly force. I think it's very similar to the Black Flash, if not that exactly what it is. I think this is a ghost. I think this is an elemental, spiritual being of some sort, tied directly to the Speed Force, if not the negative Speed Force. I think that this is something that it's not Barry. I just don't believe that it's Barry, because I don't think it really makes a lot of sense for us to even assume that it is Barry based on anything that we've gotten thus far.
Yeah, I think it's a fun idea. I don't know how much merit it. I mean, it could. I mean, there's always a possibility, right? But it is somewhat obvious. So I don't know if people would if they would go that route. Because I mean,
is it obvious? Why is it obvious? Because of the doppelganger thing. That's the reason.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's. It's obvious. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, sure, why not? We'll just, you know, Barry will be there.
I think Barry's dead.
In Earth 2?
Yeah, I think the Barry of Earth 2 is dead.
Well, I mean, I don't...
And I think the Jay of Earth 1 is dead. I think that this is kind of, you know, there's a lot of the counterparts that we're seeing for more permanent residents of Earth 1. Like, all right, so we can assume that Harrison Wells... one way or the other, that person, that body, that Tom Cavanagh is sticking around beyond this Earth 2 plotline. That's my guess. I think that character, I think that actor, he's too much of an asset and too connected to the show. So I think that Tom Cavanagh, once Earth 2 goes away, story-wise, I think Tom Cavanagh is sticking around. I also think that Jesse Quick is going to be sticking around to some capacity, and there's going to be a way for Jesse Quick to be part of Earth 1 in an ongoing basis. Same thing with Jay. I think the Jay is going to have some longevity beyond, you know, just this one storyline. And so, you know, if you look at that and you look at these connective tissues, right, there is no Harrison Wells on our Earth. There is no Jesse Quick on our Earth. My guess is that they'll follow suit and there is no Jay of our Earth, which means that there probably isn't a Barry of their Earth. That's how my mind is kind of balancing out the equation right there. I don't think there is a Barry of Earth 2. And if there was, he's dead.
Yeah, I don't think it matters, honestly. Just because...
No, I mean, it matters. I mean, when you're dealing with doppelgangers, it's definitely going to matter.
Well, but I mean, it could be that the Barry in Earth 2 is just... I mean, maybe it was a high school dropout who, you know, is like a junkie or something.
Even
like that.
That's complicated. I think it's easier if there just isn't one. Did you... You played a little bit of... I'm going to get a little Warcrafty on you here. Did you played Warlords of Draenor?
No.
Okay, so in that storyline, the entire expansion is based off this idea that there's this alternate version of a planet that you've been to before, and it's too convoluted to even explain, which makes it very similar to this season. But it essentially, they go back in time to an alternate version of this planet, and they would run into a lot of earlier versions of themselves. Except in this particular alternate version, there is no version of themselves in that version.
So they would run. They went back in time.
Thrall's not running into himself because he was never born in that version of the planet.
Okay.
And so I think it's kind of similar here. They want to avoid the doppelgangers of our primary heroes, probably with the exception of Caitlin Snow, and Vibe. But I just don't. I think the alternate version of Barry is Jay, in terms of what role he facilitates, in terms of being the speedster of that universe. I just don't think there is a Barry of Earth 2. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I don't think there is a Barry of Earth 2, and if there was, then he's dead.
Yeah, I don't really... I mean, we don't really have a way... Yeah, we do, to go back and forth between Earth 1 and Earth 2. They haven't done it yet.
Yeah, no, they did. The speed cannon.
Yeah, so they have the speed cannon. So since they do have a means...
Speed force cannon, yeah.
Yeah, they do have a means of traveling between the worlds. I don't think they will.
No, but I wish they would. Our Earth 2 seems so cool. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't think they're really going to touch on where the Earth 2 Barry is. Maybe they'll say something about the Earth 1 Jay. I don't know. But I don't really think they're going to address that.
No, I think they have to address it. I just don't think that I don't know. Zoom is not Barry. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. Zoom is not Barry.
Yeah, it's a fun theory. I mean.
It is. I don't mean to naysay, but I am going to naysay. Zoom's not Barry.
Yeah. I think it would be an interesting thing for them to do, but I don't think that that's the way they're going to go.
I was hoping that you were going to hold to that and we could like put some money down or something.
I don't know. I think it sounds like it could work. But then again, talking about it and thinking about it, I mean, it's you know, six one way, half dozen the other. It could be anything. It could even be a boat.
Honestly, I think sure, why not? I think I don't know if it was you. I think it was you who kind of speculated that perhaps Zoom isn't even originally from Earth 2 and that he's just traveling from Earth to Earth killing all these speedsters.
Yeah, that was my speculation.
Yeah, I think that's a good guess. I think that I think this iteration of Zoom is more closely tied to the Black Flash, and I don't think Jay is the first person whose speed he's captured, and I don't think that Barry is the last one. Now, it is possible that he actually went to Earth 2 looking for Barry and actually killed Barry of Earth 2.
Wait a second. I just thought of something.
What's up?
You remember when Blackout stole Barry's speed in season 1?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And old Eobard was like, I'm going to figure out how to do this because that might be useful. And then all of a sudden we have Jay Garrick lose his speed.
I forgot about that. You're right. It was kind of a throwaway thing. He wants to figure out how he stole the Flash's powers, and they never addressed it after that.
No, they didn't.
And now we got Zoom, ghostly speedster who is going around stealing people's speed
because he wants revenge.
Oh, dang!
For losing his timeline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh man, that's good. You're just building back up my original theory that Zoom is Eobard. I love it.
Yeah, he's traveling through the Speed Force to different Earths,
right?
In order to take the speed from all speedsters because they have the parts that he wish that he had.
Right, right. Oh, that's good, man. I love it. All right, well, there you go. Some speedster speculation this week.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
The Woo View is in, my friend. Woo Kim, who's been hooking us up, helping us out in the back scenes, especially for Panel Screen. He loves to write in some reviews. Unfortunately, the last couple of episodes, they've been in a little bit too late from when we record. However, the Woo View is in this episode. Bell, what does Woo say about this episode?
I like this week's episode. It wasn't great. It wasn't awful. It was decent. I like seeing Malice Zhao getting to play a baddie. I think the standout for me this episode was seeing Tom Cavanaugh play a different Harrison Wells, but not a totally different Harrison Wells. I like to say that season one Harrison Wells was like Bill Gates, and Earth 2 Harrison Wells is Steve Ballmer.
Oh, wow. There you go.
The only thing that I don't like is the fact that they are giving Dr. Snow a shipper just because the writers need her involved with a story somehow, and this is a placeholder for her or when Ronnie returns, similar to Felicity Smoke last season on Arrow, with Ray Palmer and Ollie. Lastly, love seeing, no pun intended, Barry Allen do his best Matt Murdock impression. Yeah, that was great. Maybe he will be an avocado in CCPE. Hashtag Daredevil reference. I give this episode 3 out of 5. Thanks, guys.
I give it higher ratings than that, but perhaps it's because I'm just comparing it to everything that we've gotten thus far this season. But
it is the best episode this season.
It's by far the best episode this season. And I will say this. That's a good comparison, actually, the Ray Palmer, Felicity, and the Jay Caitlin thing. Their love story does seem a little forced. There's not a whole lot of chemistry between those two.
Yeah, there's really not.
So, but, you know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to spending more time with each in their own stories, but I gotta agree with Woo. I gotta agree with them.
I tell you what though, I'm kind of sad that Jay lost his speed because I was really hoping to see some speedster team ups.
Yeah, give it time. I hear you on that, but I think it's gonna be they're building up to that moment. I hear you. Especially when I actually thought for a brief moment when Jay was going to go and face off with Dr. Light, I was like, ooh, he's going to go and like wear the action, like the, you know, the Barry's uniform and be the Flash. And then I realized, oh wait, he has no speed. So that's not going to happen. Ladybug Burns on iTunes says Killer Frost in the Flashpoint, the best Flash podcast. Awesome.
Titan Big Red writes, fantastic podcast. This podcast is pretty good. They have good sound quality, smooth voices that make the work go by, that make work go by nicely, and they're knowledgeable about the Flash. I'm hoping they do a cast about Flashpoint Paradox or other related cartoons.
Oh, we have smooth voices, Titan.
Oh, yes. Mine's not too smooth right now because I'm about to die.
Yeah, hang in there. But
Titan Big Red, if you go check out season zero
yeah.
of the Flash podcast, we go over just about every other iteration that the Flash has in various mediums. So I believe we talk about Flashpoint.
We do.
Did we review it or did we just talk about it?
No, we did both. If you go to flashtvtalk.com, you should see season zero. It's a website exclusive right now. So, so check that out. Listen to those old back episodes if you'd like. And enjoy that. And hey, you know what? We really appreciate all these iTunes reviews. And because we appreciate it, we're going to give away a free digital comic this week.
Uh-oh.
That's right. You know, we've said it before. Every single time we get a multiple of 10, we give away a free digital comic. And guess what? We hit one. And that means we are giving one away at random to, drum roll, please.
Should I do a coughing drum roll or should I just go drum, 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 my usual?
Yeah, I would stick with the drum, drum, drum. Tom Bubb. Two B's.
Congrats, Tom Bubb.
Yeah, congratulations. You're a winner. So get in touch with us. We'll verify that and get you your free digital comic. Thank you so much, sir. And we want to thank all of you for writing reviews. Keep them coming, because like I said, every single time we get a multiple of 10, we'll give away a new free digital comic. It could be you next time.
And you're in it until you win it.
That's right. We also want to encourage you to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter at Flash TV Talk.
But if 140 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for latest news and daily discussions on all things Flash, be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/flashtvtalk.
And if you like this show, feel free to check out our parent show, Panel to Screen, where this week we're going to talk about some Constant Flash.
Oh, yes, we are. A lot of good Constantine talk. Constant TV talk. Special thanks goes out to Charlie Bach for letting us use this wonderful outro music, Rockin' Flash theme. Be sure to check out his SoundCloud channel, which is in the show notes for this episode. And hey, by the way, if you are tuning in to us, listening on iTunes, we appreciate it. If you're using an Android device, check out the Satchel Podcast Player. Listen to us that way. You can actually tweet into the show while you're listening on the Satchel Podcast Player. Pretty cool. You can also hit support and send us a few dollars. So do that as well. And hey, if you're going to miss us while we're gone, don't worry. We'll be back in a flash.